Good afternoon, good afternoon, and I'd like to say good evening, good morning. I don't know where you are, but I know we go round and round the world with BBS Radio, and this is Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love it when you call in and ask questions. And when we look at your life and what's going on in your life, what we like to do is look at the energy fields that you're using, that you're running, that you're reacting and using just very unconsciously or subconsciously, and how these magnetize the reality that you're living in at this time, how these magnetize events in your life, how they attract the situations that create the drama to actually transform the way energy runs in your body mind. So today we're doing another lesson on energy. I love it. Next week we're going to talk about Fire of the Grid, and we're going to talk about traveling the world over and working with people in different countries around the world with a wonderful music therapist, acupuncturist named Susan Bradbury, and she's going to come in. We're going to do Fire of the Grid in the morning and then talk about Fire of the Grid, global consciousness, the energy of thinking globally and making a difference globally and perhaps releasing us from the incredible bell curve of greed and economic domination that has gone on. I sound like a politician. My personal politics is really all about change the energy, change the reality. So we're going to really do the big global one next week. So this week, we're going to do just you and I and learning what it is that we're running in our world that's creating the kind of drama that we have. And after we do the structures and do a little bit of chat, I'm going to encourage you to call in with your questions. I don't like to do predictions because predictions are meant to be played with. I will do them periodically so that we can look at what's kind of out-picturing from this incredible vehicle of light that we are. And whether we're, here I have a caller, but I'm going to do the structure first, and I'd like you to hold your call, maybe make a cup of tea and be on hold for about 10 minutes, okay? Thanks, I appreciate that. So what we're going to do is talk about how you and I take in energies through the essence of our being, through family of origin, through the universe, through interactions and reactions to one another, and the collective consciousness. We're going to talk about all that kind of stuff, and we're going to go into, and I shouldn't say stuff, we're going to talk about that kind of reality or the aspects, the energetic aspects of reality as we create with it. And we're going to go into the vibrational forms called the structures that my guides love to teach. And other people are teaching versions of this as well. These structures are meant to be a meditative forum in which you can enhance your own manifestations. You can do purification, you can do cleansing and clearing in these, and you can actually do a lot of healing work on yourself and others. So let's take a minute, close your eyes, unless you're driving, and I gather we'll be able to listen to computer radio and be driving pretty soon, so that's not so weird, is it? So close your eyes, and let's all take a deep breath, and with the help of the guides and angels, we're going to enhance the vibration of our structures. So focus above your head, perhaps a mile and a half, and see there a golden ball. Sometimes it's kind of lit with a white-blue radiance, too, from the platinum light and the plutonians and all these different more radiant lights that come with gold. And focus on the ball below the base of your spine, perhaps 20 feet. And draw a filament of light from the upper ball through your body into the lower ball. And now around your waist, perhaps 8 feet in radius, create a series of these golden balls that creates a circle around your waist. You can just feel them radiating. Now you got a whole circle of golden balls around you, almost waist high. And from the upper golden ball to the circle of golden balls, drop many, many filaments of pink light. And as you do that, you create a kind of a canopy pointing upwardly. Feel it for a minute. You can feel the energy of these radiant strands of light. Good, and now from the circle of balls to the lower ball, another myriad of these wonderful radiant lights. And now you're in a structure, feel it. Doesn't it feel good? And now whilst you're in it, create a crystal, an etheric crystal ball, and notice the colors that show up with that etheric crystal ball. And as you sit in the center of it, you can feel the energy change to a powerful feminine energy. Yes, and enjoy that. It softens things. But it's the infinite potential for creation, isn't it? And you move from there into the double tetrahedron, that is a three-sided pyramid pointing upwardly and three-sided pyramid pointing down. And you're inside of it, and it looks kind of like a diamond. And spin that, just spin it, and spin it, and spin it. And as you spin it, you can feel it. You can feel your body pick up the frequency. And whilst you're spinning, look at this magical screen in front of you. And on that screen, see little movies of what you want to create and manifest in your world. Maybe it's world peace. Maybe it's health, improved health, relationships. Of course, money. Infinite supply of resources. And look at the other issues. Some of you want to create an invention and have it marketed. Some want to write books. Some want to simply be loved and loving. Some want a rapid healing of a broken limb. Or a house to be cleared out and sold. Or the manifestation of a great dream of some sort. Just see it. Feel it. Literally experience it. You can even smell it. Good work. But draw your attention back into your spinning tetrahedron. Is it still turning? Is yours still turning? Some of you are. Some of you aren't. It doesn't matter. Stop in it just for a moment and spin it one more time. Spin and spin and spin. And feel your body's frequencies clear and move to a higher level. And welcome back. We're starting right off with a caller, and I hope you waited all that period of time and did your manifestation with us. You're on the air. Maybe you're not on the air. Anyway, so that's one way of taking charge of your reality. The thing about a structure, or even when you call in the directions, the seven directions, all of those ways are styles of bringing forth the kind of energy that you prefer, that you want to do in your world, the kind of energy that you want to take with you. All right, I'll just finish this thought, and then I'll talk to you. The kind of energy that you want to have wrapped around you as you go into the world so that you can magnetize, draw to yourself, the reality that you prefer so that you can feel safe and you can also really contribute to life on this planet by raising the fields and frequency in the collective conscious, which we know isn't always that wise about how high its frequency runs. So thank you for your call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Veronica. This is Kim in Louisiana.
Oh, hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. It's later there than here.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have a question?
I guess I kind of called about John Michael, and I was thinking if you could kind of give me a read. I think I had a dream or something that said that there's another piece of the puzzle for his educational issues. Like, he's got a, I don't know if I even told you, he's got a tracking disorder. So he sees double about a third of the time. And then a neurologist said that he's got dyslexia. So he's got those two things going on. Then in the dream or somewhere, someone, which I think it might have been a dream, but I'm not sure, somebody said to me, there's a third piece of the puzzle that you don't have yet. And then when you do have it, things will get a lot better. Mm-hmm. Well, John Michael might be disassociating a little bit because... And I know, remember you said that he was from Andromeda?
Mm-hmm.
He had an extreme emotional positive reaction to something that happened in our lives recently, okay, an announcement I made.
Hmm.
And then later, when I asked him about it, he was sad instead. Now, I understand we can have a range of emotions, but But I actually had one of his special educators kind of say a little bit the same thing. She said she presented a tool to him, and it was like one of those reading bar boxes with a ruler in it,
mm-hmm.
colored, and she presented it to him one day, one afternoon, and the exact same time the next day, he had acted like he never saw it. And so I'm thinking, and she said that was really odd because he asked what it was called again, and what was it, and why did he have to use it, and what did he use it for, and, you know, and so I'm wondering if there might be something else going on.
I think there is. It's like you said, he sees double, but
yeah.
It's almost like he experiences two sides. I don't think he's, don't get me wrong, he's not schizophrenic or something. But
well,
his awareness is really not there sometimes, and it is there. And I'm seeing it running down through the spine, right into the base of the spine. There's something in the central nervous system that's just not connecting properly.
Yeah.
Now, the good part of it is he's extremely intuitive and will get a lot of information, a lot of response
right.
from his intuitive self. But that'll keep you confused, too, because he's, by nature, very peaceful and expanded.
Yeah.
So he'll do it from that, and then he'll do it from a contracted point of view, you know?
Do you think it could be an organic thing, like maybe an exposure to mold or some sort of environmental toxin or sleep apnea or something?
You know what I think? It's just pressure and tension. And that he's he's acutely sensitive, don't you?
Yeah, he's very acutely sensitive.
Okay, well, the difficult thing about being sensitive is obvious. It's hard to manage ourselves. But the really exciting thing is that he's, as we said, very intuitive and very in touch with the higher purpose of things. And I think life on this planet's pretty hard.
Yeah.
And the amount of dramatic circumstance in his home life,
yeah,
as you know, has been rather trying for him.
Yeah.
And I would believe this when I watch him, he goes out of his body or out of the presence of his normal central nervous system quite regularly.
Oh, gotcha. And it's just a normal thing that he does. And so I had a
that's
psychic.
How he copes, you know.
Yeah, that's a cope, right? And I had a massage therapist who told me that my husband's that unconsciously he's a very strong spiritual presence, and that he's been psychically attacking my son in the dream world because of all these other issues, obviously, that are not. And I tried to do some work with that, and I did, and I felt like good. And then Jim Michael said, yeah, the bad stuff had stopped in his dreams, which is really cool, and I'm glad about that. But so I guess I shouldn't be worried about two different personalities or two different. I mean, I know they have to both answer to John Michael because he never answers to anything else. I mean,
well, you know what, Kim? I'm worried about the amount of pressure he's under.
Yeah, he is under a lot of pressure.
And when you talk about psychic attack, I want to kind of reduce the drama of those words and say his father has an ability to send his thoughts and feelings and his worries to him,
his
which
negative.
We all do have, you know.
Right.
But because your son is so tied, you know, so attached to his dad in many ways, right?
Right.
It's easier. So instead of calling it psychic attack, I think you could call it empathetic permeability or something, you know?
Gotcha.
And the other thing is that your son, I just see it very, and people at home think about this in your own lives, that he kind of whips out of his body and has this really sweet and very brilliant way of experiencing life. And then when he goes back into his body, he has some conflicts and some limitations and afflictions. So it can look like he's a dual personality. But I think you're going to find him integrating a lot of those parts by the time he's about 13 or 14.
Gotcha.
He's probably, he's a really advanced soul, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I know it's very, very hard to raise somebody like that.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for us to stay attuned to which aspect they're bringing up right now.
Right.
And you got to know, and you do know, that it's hard work for him the way his father's been ill, for people who don't know, for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And is moody, right?
Oh, extremely, right.
Yeah.
That's
and the boy is very sensitive, very sweet, very supportive.
Right.
Even wants to get his dad all better.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's true.
How old is he, 9?
John Michael? Yeah, 7.5.
Oh, he's 7.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has a little time to go.
Yeah.
But you know by...
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah. I'm just watching him come out of his body sometimes, and then he's just this amazing little blissful soul.
Uh-huh.
Happy as can be, isn't he?
Yep. Yes.
Then he has to contract back in or fit back in.
Right, into it. Yeah. So I was going to, I'll hang up and let you answer. I was going to ask about, I had kind of a, like everybody's talking about ascension, right?
Right.
Okay. So what's necessarily going to be different about us if we all ascend together? You know, how's the world really going to transform? I mean, I guess that's my question, and maybe I was kind of, I mean, maybe everybody's vision is personal, but I was hoping maybe you could maybe make that a topic of a future show, if you don't want to deal with it now.
I'll deal with it a little bit. I'd like to do a little more time and research on it so it can come up in another show, but we'll talk a little bit, and so if you want to listen on the radio, that's great.
Okay, great.
And I want to say thanks for your call and many blessings.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Veronica. Yeah. Have a blessed evening.
And you too.
Thanks.
I mean, that's a really interesting question, and I don't know if any of us really knows the answer. If you read a lot of things on ascension and listen to a lot of channels and so on, you'll find there are very few really, well, they're kind of consistent, but in detail they're not consistent. And that's a lot of the channeling work and so on is metaphorical and energetic and also very much a part of how much our frequency has gone up, if that makes sense. Change the energy, change the reality. I love that line. I say it a lot because it's so simplistic and it really reminds us of what's going on. My understanding of ascension is that we're moving into becoming more and more multidimensional, that our frequencies are going up. The base frequency, maybe not, but a lot of the reactive energies that we've been living are being pushed out by a rising tide of consciousness that's coming through us, in spite of ourselves, a lot of us. Making things kind of crazy. The universal flows are shifting and dynamically pushing on us as well so that they radiate at a higher level coming through us so that we are bopped and pushed so that we release and clear more and more of the energy fields that we've ingested in the form of reaction. So as we keep moving up and moving up and moving up, we move out of the consciousness that we have understood in our planet and we become much more unlimited. I don't know what's going to happen on the planet, but I do know this, that my guides have shown me that there will be concurrent realities within a few years that we will see. This is how my guides speak. I'm not promising you this is exactly third dimensionally correct, okay? So play with the metaphors here or accept the spiritual flow of this. But they say that there is going to be sort of concurrent realities where many of us will disappear. Too many other people. And that's not because so-and-so is the chosen one. It's that the reality that people choose to live in eventually coalesces or amasses in such a way that many, many beings choosing to live in a higher consciousness reality seem to separate from the main. And as far as I understand, I've heard many discussions about whether what it appears that is that during that time, many will appear to have died, meaning they will, and I'll be with you in just a moment, thank you for your call, many will appear to have died, but they will just have moved to a different level of energy, and these will not be apparent to these over here. So we can talk about that. We have a caller, and we'll see what your point of view on this is. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I am from the state of Washington.
Oh, good. You're in my state.
Yeah, I'm from Bucket Hill.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
You know where that is?
I sure do. I'm right near Bellingham.
Oh, okay. About an hour away.
Yeah, howdy, neighbor.
Yeah. Hey, Veronica, this is the first time. And I just found BBS a couple of days ago.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Hey, I have, since you've been talking about, like, spiritual and changes that's going on.
Yes.
You know, changes in people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I was young, very young.
Well, you sound pretty young to me right now.
I'm 51.
Oh, good. You're just a kid.
Thanks. I was born and raised in Korea, and I was at orphanage over there. Okay, I'm half and half mixed, Norwegian, Korean mixed. So anyway, I used to be, okay, I had this telepathic thing going.
Wow.
Okay, at a very young age. Then when I came over, okay, my full name, now this is kind of weird too. My full Korean name, when you put it all together, is 11, number 11.
Okay.
My birthday is 9/29. When you put 9/2/11, 2/9/11, okay. Then, of course, 1955, which is double two. And then when you hit 11 and 11, it's double two, okay?
Mm-hmm.
11 follows me everywhere. And my Korean name starts with K, which is 11. My American name is Caroline. My mom named me with K instead of C, which is to start with 11. Okay, it just follows me everywhere. Then when I moved here, this place I'm living now, a year and a half ago, which I didn't even cross my mind until a couple months ago, and then I realized, oh my God, this is 11 too. 5213.
Isn't that wonderful?
Address. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I'm saying is, okay, well, I was adopted at 14, and about a year after I was adopted, I think my whole system had to settle and learning new languages and, you know, all that. My telepathic thing really kicked in.
Great.
But the thing about it is, it actually would show me the stuff that's happening with my family. If somebody got hurt, car accident or something, it would show me as they were happening at that moment, okay?
Mm. Wow.
Not before, it's at that moment. So anyway, I would relay those things to my parents, okay? And then, of course, you know, they get a phone call that afternoon or evening, Carolyn, did tell us this, exactly what she said is happening. Then at 27, this continued on. At 27, my daughter, she was 4 years old. I was at work. I worked part-time because I didn't like to be away from my kids too long because they were still too young. And I literally saw my daughter getting hit by a car while I was at work. So I told my boss, I had to go. I got to go now. My daughter just got hit by a car. She goes, what do you mean? You didn't get a phone call? I says, no. I don't have to. I just saw it. You know, I said, I'll explain this tomorrow. Well, anyway, sure enough, by the time when I went back to pick her up, they were all at the hospital. At that night, I told my whoever I was speaking to, that, you know, all through my childhood, and I said, I don't ever, ever want to see this again.
Hmm.
Ever. And, you know, they didn't.
You've never seen it again.
No, they never show me. However, my angel continued on, put presence, like something happened. Instead of showing me, they would show up. Angel would show up, but wouldn't tell me, but just show up and then leave.
Mm.
So until about 2 months ago, I started looking up on the internet, okay? Something told me, I don't know, from one site to the next site, it's all relating to spiritual, okay?
Right.
Up until this point, I didn't have no interest. Well, I was always spiritual, but I had no interest in any type of getting involved. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And about 2 months ago, I went into one site, and that site led me to another site, which happened to wind up being at the Lee Carroll site.
Hmm, great.
You know who he is?
Yeah, the Indigo Child.
Right. And then Kryon. He channeled with Kryon, right?
Yes.
So something told me to listen. I decided, you know, something sparked my interest to listen one of his channels. And you know what, Veronica?
What?
That evening, I had this huge urge to meditate, which I never done.
Well, good for you. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, did I ever enjoy it? I mean, I went to bed that night. I had the most, I don't know how you say this. The outer body experience one could ever experience. I went out to this, you know, outer space. And Kryon himself took me out there.
Wonderful.
And I was questioning for last, like, year or two, what is God?
Mm-hmm.
Who is God? Because people always arguing about God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he took me out there, because all I want was peace on earth. I hate this war thing, you know, what's going on.
Right.
And he showed me, first thing he did was he showed me three earths. He said, first earth was just complete black. Then the second earth he showed me was half black and half white. I mean bright white, like a light.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third earth he showed me it was complete white. I mean it was like shining like a star white.
Hmm.
It was so bright.
Hmm.
And I turned around, I said to him, oh my God, we did it, peace on earth. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah. You know. Then I was shown supernova being exploded out there. I was shown, this is the whole time, you know, while I'm out there. I was shown earth changes. I was shown, this one thing, it was just tremendous. Anyway, this whole thing I was shown was totally life-altering for me. And that next morning when I got up, from that point forward, okay, night before I had opened up first time in, you know, how many years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
That next day forward, I noticed I was smelling this like a burnt matches every time, like if I'm in a kitchen or I'm in a bathroom, but this like a sulfur smell. Almost had this mist, like cool mist with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm sitting in a computer or anywhere, or when I'm laying down, I would smell this. It dawned on me, it was my angel who's kind of going, hey, I'm here. Hey,
beautiful.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would like, now it shows up with the light. If before I go to bed, I say, are you here? And she will flash neon green light on my bed.
Wonderful.
Now, what is all this? Because I opened up.
Yes.
Vanika.
It's very wonderful.
Did you ever have people literally sense, angel sense like that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. But it's a big privilege, and I feel like, well, I don't know if it's just a privilege, but it feels like it's something to be absolutely honored and enjoyed, and it's going to bring you into your service to the world.
And I had this urge, I had to help somebody. From that day, next day forward, I woke up, I had this tremendous urge that I needed to help people who's hungry.
Oh, good.
So I went out and bought these groceries.
You went and bought what?
I went out and bought a bunch of groceries, dropped it off at food bank.
Good for you. Well,
so I'm getting all these messages.
I think it's just exciting, and it's part of your evolution. If you have you seen firethegrid.org?
Yes.
And did you read her story? Because it's not
fun.
The same, but it's the same. You know, it's a wonderful story of opening up to become multidimensional, which is part of ascension, right?
Uh-huh.
And
I think the whole thing is you have to, I tell all my friends is, you have to open up the door sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be done sincerely.
Yes.
Not because you want the information.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Right.
It had to be done sincerely. And you know that first night when I sat and started meditating, I meditated for over an hour.
Wonderful.
And 15 minutes into it, I don't know what happened. I just started bawling my eyes. What's up with that?
Well, you know, meditation is a huge, we used to call it a great mind dump, you know. It's a huge releasing technique of separating from the fields that occupy our brain and keep it limited, you know. You're really, you're going to move very fast.
I was wondering,
did Kryon, or did you learn from the beings who took you out into space whether those are three concurrent realities?
No, I was three different times.
Okay.
And you know what's really weird was my dream, okay, the first night was a for the moon, I mean the Earth, showing me Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the second night was, when he showed me supernova, it was a Mary Magdalene, the angel Mary Magdalene, took me second night.
Oh, wonderful.
With my angel. And because since I was telling you that, you know, I was arguing with people, I don't know what God is. I know there's something really powerful out there, but what is God? Right?
Because
mm-hmm. everybody has their own notion of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
and they fight over it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they answered me my question. They showed it to me. God is a light.
Wow.
I mean, when they showed me the, took me up, and they showed me the God, and I couldn't see. It was so bright.
Wow.
So that answered my question, saying that, oh my God, that is God is a light. God is a love. And you know, when they showed me that light, it was so bright. It was so white. It had this tremendous love came with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would tell my girlfriend, I said, God is a light. Can you believe it? She's going, you're crazy. But anyway, then the third night they showed me, it was like my dreams were like continuously.
Hmm.
It was like one night after another night. It went on for two solid weeks continuously of a different thing. And show me a lot of different catastrophic events, too, which I didn't like. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That part, I don't like it, but I figure it's probably they had to show it to me. This is what the Earth Change is all about. And this is what, you know, prepare yourself for. And we're giving you information that you need. And, you know, one night, right at the end of the two-week period, this was... Because I usually get up between 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, because I'm, you know, I'm retired. And I was tossing and turning and tossing and turning about 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 in the morning. Every time I would toss and turn over to the other side, I would get this woof of flower smell in my face, which was my angel right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
She kept on saying to me for three times, she told me, you have to move by August 8th, 2008. I mean, three times, making sure she fed it into my brain, or somebody did, okay? And I said, why? Where do I go? They say, Boulder, Colorado. I said, what?
Well, and they say, and I'm going to have to cut this short because I have a lot of radio
right,
to do.
Right.
But thank you for your call, and I'm so excited that you're opening like that, and thank you for sharing this with us.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I want to share with you, Veronica. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for your call.
Okay, bye.
Have fun in Boulder. That was really interesting. She, you know, waking up is what's going on right now, and that's why we're talking about energy, too, because it's a style of waking up and becoming more and more attuned to the infinite potential. When she's talking about love and talking about shifting dimensions, most of us are locked in or limited and can't seem to do that because we've been locked into certain energy patterns that hold us in a certain level of consciousness. I think you all listening to Radiance by Design and listening to BBS Radio are familiar enough with energy. So I was just thinking today about talking about energy and what it's like learning to be authentic. Now, our last caller, Catherine, said something pretty interesting, or even just go back to John Michael. Learning to be authentic on this planet at this time is really tricky because we are so fraught with reaction from one another and from family of origin and from past lives or concurrent realities, or other people's energy. Have you ever sat beside somebody and really started to yawn and because you've taken on that person's energy and it weighs more than yours at this time? Well, that's just an example. That's an extreme example of what we all do to a degree. We run each other's energy fields all the time. And where you go on the planet, if you go where there's vortexes and vortices, that moves up through your body-mind, and you get to shift your energy. So that's an energy influence. I've been to parts of the planet where you go and you get really pulled down, And perhaps there have been wars there or a lot of abuse or something, and my whole body just goes into a really heavy, thank you for your call, I'll be with you in a minute, my whole body gets into a real heaviness, and I like to get out of there and clear, because talking about becoming authentic, it's really, really tricky to be true to who you are when you're running all of these energy patterns that are not your own. We're all living in this kind of vibrational soup. You're a vibrational vehicle of light, but sometimes it's hard to know how to fuel up your vibrational vehicle and then steer your ship to where your authenticity is really resonant with all that you can be. So anyway, we have a caller. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, Veronica. This is Brian.
Hi, Brian from Indiana. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you today?
Really good. Thanks.
I was listening to your last caller, and she's very enthused.
Very what?
She's very enthused.
Enthused?
Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, she's got a lot to be excited about.
Yes, she does. That is just amazing. I was listening to her dreams and everything, and I was like, wow.
Well, one time you called in, and one of my friend clients, people that emailed me after the show, said she was jealous of you.
Oh, there's nothing to be jealous at.
Oh, but it's cute. It just means she was being cute. She was going, I want what he's been doing, so it's okay.
Yes.
We all understand it and pass it on, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So you got a question today?
Yes, I just woke up from a dream today, just a little bit ago, and this one's pretty amazing. I had a dream of all these star systems, these constellations, and they were kind of grouped together, one connected to another one connected to another one, and there was a person, a being there, and they were showing me where we are located, kind of like in the Milky Way, on one of the arms, in the spiral arms, and then it veered off to other constellations. And the one that I remember them saying, and the one that was resonating in my mind, was like all these constellations together and toward the center. And I heard this word called U-versa.
U-versa?
Yeah. U, I'll spell it for you. Is that okay?
Yep.
U-V-E-R-S-A. Universa. And it was just something that just stuck out.
Did you love the dream?
Yes, I did. I was like, wow, I'm being shown this. It's really neat. All these constellations. But well, anyway, because I read a lot on this book called the Urantia book.
Oh right, okay, I remember that book. I used to read on it sometimes.
That is an amazing book. So much wealth of information in there. But I had to look that up again, what that meant. And I guess that's kind of toward the center of cosmos. And they have the super administration, which they call the Ancients of Days. So that was just something that just stuck out. I was like, wow.
So your dream is partially about that influence as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Did you have in your dream, I'm just curious about something, was there music or some sounds in the background? When you're talking about the constellations, I hear this incredible music around it.
Yeah, a little bit, yes. It's like a harmonic vibration.
Uh-huh.
It's a, what do you call it? A
tone.
Like a pulse. Yes.
But they're pulsing or something.
Yes.
It's very beautiful. Makes me want to laugh. And I feel like it's part of you being expanded and educated beyond the third dimension. So
it feels like I'm being pulled to be shown just all these. I'm not sure if these are the star systems I've been to in past lifetimes.
You know what? You're going to have another dream, and it's going to further your exploration. You're going to know more about it.
Yes, that's what I
think it's very exciting. It's like you're being taken on a tour here.
That's what I was going to ask. When I say that name, can you see where that's at, U-versa? It's like a in the super universe.
Yeah, it looks like it is a name for this entire collection that you were looking at.
Yes, of all these constellations together.
Isn't it exciting?
That is so exciting.
You'll be calling us from that area eventually.
It seems like it.
I better continue with my show here, but thank you so much for calling in. You always have a wonderful new phase to share with us. Thank you so much.
I know. Well, God bless. And that fire of the grid, I'll be looking for that to do that meditation on that day. That's just amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it?
That'll be very, very uplifting. I was watching some of that on that YouTube and her story.
Isn't she good? Yeah, that's Shelley Yates.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
But if people just go to firethegrid.org, they can find the YouTube thing.
Yes, and I saw that. I was like, wow, that almost brought me to tears, you know, her story.
Did you hear that I'm going to have a guest on next Tuesday, the day of Fire the Grid?
No, I just turned it on here just a minute ago. I didn't catch the first half.
Okay, if you're listening, I'm just going to explain all about that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, Veronica.
Thanks for your call. Many blessings.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, this Fire the Grid thing is, I mean, very exciting. Well, it's interesting to talk to people who are all relating to star systems at some level. Isn't it exciting? I'm not going to try and explain his dream because he's going to call us and he's going to expand that dream one day very soon, you watch. As far as Fire the Grid goes, it's a very exciting time because the woman who had, Shelley Yates, who had her near-death experience and is in association with beings of light as well, was told that I've got some paperwork here. The grid, it's a collective grid so that I don't have the whole definition of how the grid works. My understanding of it is that there's a system, an energy system, which keeps us relatively controlled and limited and keeps certain dominant forces active on the planet and so on. And Shelley's guides were teaching her, her light beings were teaching her that on July 17th at 4 o'clock our time on the West Coast, and you have to go into firethegrid.org and check out the time. I think it's 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time, wherever your actual time is, and to meditate for an hour, because what we're going to do is build the light, and the light beings are working with this, and move it into the core of the Earth and back out and really dismantle or create a new energy grid around the world, an energy grid that is going to be able to energize humanity and energize more and more of the divine power. It will pulse healing energy into the center of the Earth, regenerate the core or the heart of the planet. And then it's got something else. I have to go a little farther in my reading here that humans are like lightning rods channeling God's energy to the planet because we've separated ourselves from our complete connection to Source by not having a fully functioning human grid. So what's going to happen, if we choose to come together to rebuild our grid, then the natural flow of energy between us and God, God and the Earth, and person to person will be restored. Now, I was talking to you about how we take on the people beside us as energy, and that we're just loaded with reactive energy, and that human consciousness sort of weighs us down. And what comes out of the media and all of that kind of stuff weighs us down. So what Fire the Grid is talking about is that we can realign ourselves to create a very uplifting and expanded energy field that will, so each of us are sending the other all the time. Higher frequency energy, human potential is at an all-time high, and that the grid that will go around the world can touch and unlimit people all over the world. It sounds absolutely, I'll be with you in a moment, thank you for your call. It sounds preposterous, but let's get up, for those of us where it's the middle of the night, and fire the grid all together in a great meditation at 4 o'clock in the morning, West Coast time, on July 17th, that's next Tuesday. And we'll be talking about it Tuesday afternoon with my guest, Susan Bradbury, who is actually an acupuncturist who uses a lot of sound, color, all kinds of intuitive tools to enhance her acupuncture. She's very involved with Fire the Grid, but this woman also goes around the world and is working on micro-lending to various groups around the world, mostly women, to start women in their own businesses so they don't need to stay poor or to stay starving and so on. So she's involved in a lot of peace missions around the world, doing meditations in different difficult environments, working in Africa, working in Mongolia as a volunteer to help people get up on their feet. So actually, you think about it, sort of matches her work around the world, matches the dream or the intention of this grid shift. So tune in next week at 4 o'clock, and we're going to talk to Susan Bradbury. But right now, we're going to talk to you because you're on the air and you've been patient and waiting.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi, this is Anna.
Hi, Anna. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, except when my computer decides to dump out the radio show, so then I lost you, and I was busy trying. And I have this question, and it's kind of related to that kind of feeling of being, I'm really interested in what you're saying, and I missed it. Part of what's going on for me to, in the last, actually, 6 weeks, 2 months, is I've been up and down about selling a home that's been in our family for 30 years, and I would like any kind of feedback or assistance how I can maybe give, you know, what's the best way to communicate, like, to this gal, Deborah, who actually called during this time, just as the as I
okay, I'm going to ask for some help. Just if you, Anna, if you just hold on for one minute. I'm going to ask people at home, all you listeners and wonderful participants in the grid shifting.
The grid, the larger picture,
yeah. Anne's home is a big, it has a lot of demands and some drains and some responsibilities and some emotional attachments and some potential for creating revenue and so on. So I'm going to ask everybody at home to take a minute, and this is a really good practice for us to all do with one another. And let's just clear for a second, take a deep breath, and place Anne's home in, let's place it in a structure. Let's do the structure again. Or we can just use a double tetrahedron and put the home in there and Anne in there. And let's just spin it in the double tetrahedron and lift the frequency of this home. The guides are saying this immediately. As we spin it in the double tetrahedron, you can see on the magic screen what it is you'd like to achieve with this home. And what the guides are saying here, and I don't believe that we have to stick to everything that they say. They say the indications from this moment are hold on a little while. And you would do well to raise the fields and the frequency and really lift the energy around this place. And really, it's not procrastinating. It's taking some time to resolve, I think they're saying like three issues, and you'll know, and then suddenly there's a break and you feel it, and it should sell really well, probably later in the fall.
Gotcha.
And there's a change, there's a shift in the market coming as well. Not sure what's happening, but it looks like it starts going up and then it crashes and then it goes back up again, and that's when you'll sell.
Oh, it's volatile, but can I just say one thing? There's quite a bit, we're just finding out about the huge termite damage, and I do want to deal with that, so I'll put a lot of light around me how I'm going to resolve that. That may also, but I hear what you're saying.
Well, they're saying immediately that you need to get the help. The people that you talked to recently?
Yes, in fact, there's somebody that came yesterday that was so fantastic to start that, so I'll be talking to her. Just send me some light. Probably in the next few minutes she'll be showing up because she wanted, you know, she was saying, look, I've got clients that can come in here, but I'm backing away. I'm just backing
away. Just wait a little while. You'll get more money also. I'm asking everybody at home to remember this talent, that we could actually go into those termites and the consciousness of the termites and slow them down. I'm not saying don't follow through with your termite exterminator.
Right.
But I'm saying get the energy going toward that.
Gotcha.
Don't allow yourself to believe the whole thing's crumbling. I don't know what you're waiting for, but you need to wait a little while is what they're saying.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. And I will appreciate next week on Tuesday and the the bigger picture, I call it. Yeah.
Great. That's
Thank
wonderful.
You.
Thanks for your call, Anna.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. We're talking about how we get so... I wanted to... It's funny, Anna's call, because I wanted to talk about the belly area. I'm thinking of two couples in particular. One of each couple is extremely spiritual and metaphysical, understands energy and wants to move energy. And the relationships have big problems. And what I wanted to talk about was what's recorded in the belly. In our body minds, and our bodies are full of reactive energy, reactions that came from past experiences, whether it's other lives or whatever. So we judge each other all the time. You're this way and I'm that way, blah, blah. But the reality is that we've got these investments we've made in old beliefs through traumatic reactions. And I notice in both couples that I'm going to talk about, it's something to do with the belly and the male. So we're going to use that as an example. But Anna's call is about a house that is absolutely replete with information on the belly level. That means the subconscious, family of origin, the holding patterns of the past are all sitting in this house. So even though she's not in a male-female or a marriage relationship or an intimate relationship, she is with this house. This house is really triggering a whole lot of subconscious stuff for her, making it very difficult. So it's kind of a funny segue into talking about human relationships, intimate relationships, and the belly or the second chakra, as it holds and records reactions from gosh knows when. So I was interested in a couple, and she's very, very spiritual. And like many of us on the spiritual path, we have been trained and taught to figure out who we are and how to release and get more powerful and emerge as a more and more powerful being. And you know, it's really funny because sometimes, and I've said this before, I think on Jackie's show, that sometimes what happens is we get closed off. We don't realize that we're so busy being together that we keep ourselves in a bit of a vibrational, I won't call it a cocoon, but it's more like a structure of our own. So we create a vibrational structure of our own. And the other person that's trying to get in can literally bounce off of that structure. And I saw this in one woman. And then her partner, as she's growing big and strong, this guy, who's incredibly powerful, has a very big pain or a wounding, probably came from another life as well as his early childhood, that keeps him, when you go too close to him intimately, he kind of flings off and becomes very, very powerful in the world, almost like this is a hot thing, and it functions like a, it's like a reaction or a grenade in his belly area, in his energy belly, that is. And then he shoots off into the world and does something amazing and very powerful. But we could say it's really funny. What drives them to do that stuff is the need to get away from the vulnerability or the craziness of what could go on if he goes into a very vulnerable space. So whilst this couple is working out how to become better intimate partners, it would really help to pay attention to the fact that as she demands or wants or deserves, in fact, a deep, vulnerable intimacy with this fellow, what she's doing is coming toward him in a very scary way. Why scary? Because she's going to undo his way of coping with his fear of intimacy. And that's what we do to each other. We bring up in each other some of the deeper woundings and the deeper scars, and that creates huge reactions. So if we then continue going toward that guy, and that very, very powerful, sensitive, and brilliant man, who he's not very good at intimacy, if we keep going toward him, asking, telling, and certainly beseeching, and setting him up to show up to talk about this thing that is absolutely terrifying to him, you're going to get somebody who's got volatile reactiveness, who's trying to get away from you and making you the dragon. And you'd have to be the dragon in his world, because when it hits our subconscious that way, deep in the belly like that, then people are, it's all a life and death. It's all about life and death for our consciousness, not for our thoughts and our logical part, but for the deeper part of our consciousness. So what I'm saying is how intriguing it is, and you look at these relationships, and you see how the one who's well-intentioned and wanting to be powerful and wanting to share that power and can't really figure out why you won't talk about it is actually threatening in a murderous fashion the very person that she loves, because he's got this deep wounding and is reacting away from it. So as I said earlier, it's kind of like he's a slingshot into the world to stay away from that. Now the question is, can they get beyond it? My understanding for all of us is where we invoke or bring up in other people such intense reactions, it's really good to drop inside and really feel that and really exaggerate that, to really feel that in your own body. So, for example, for her, and she's probably not listening to the show right now, but it would be to call up in herself the actual terror of having someone close, terror of talking about it, because she's going to have some of that in there. The more she overcompensates and tries to resolve it in the logical, outgoing ways, the worse it gets. So it's like if you can find those places, I think we have a caller. I just want to finish this one thought. If you can find those places inside, call them up, feel them, and command total release, you can probably get along better. Okay, you have a call? I'm overdue, so we'll see you next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, with your ideas, your comments, and what's going on with you. Much love and many blessings.